time to practice. But I went to a retreat one day in Goyangkaji, retreat in Black Hill. And when I listened to the Dharma talk by Goyangkaji, and I found I was, my spirit was uplifted, you know. The wrong ideas will go. I thought I should practice every day, you know. Every moment, I should learn from everything, you know. Then later on I found Dharma is nothing but everything. Everything can learn anything from everything. You know? Maybe if you look at the cloud moving in the sky, I just watch sometimes. Beautiful, you know. Then I see the Dharma there. So beautiful. Because the cloud is not permanent. It changes, you know, it transforms, you know. It has some kind of beauty in it, you know. So nice. So I learned from the birds how they fly, you know, how they eat. It's a beautiful thing, you know, how they sing songs, you know. So we can learn the Dharma from everybody, from everything, and from every situation. Especially, I learned, I had a realization that having a problem is a blessing. If you really want to know the Dhamma, the true Dhamma comes out of this garbage pile, you know. So we don't like that garbage. The problem, you know, is like a garbage. You know? But who knows, underneath this garbage, there's a beautiful gem. One day you'll get it, you know. Even that garbage can be recycled, you know. So when the people say something, sometimes arguments, you know, problems, you know, it's not easy to run a place. You know, dealing with the people, dealing with the situation in day-to-day life, it's a very big thing, you know. Not so easy. People might think, I have very good fun, you know. But it's not. It's what the Buddha said. You know, the life which we normally experience is suffering. There's full of suffering everywhere, you know. If you go and talk to everyone in the world, everybody, if you are very friendly with that person, everyone will reveal the secret stories of suffering. Oh, I have this and that, I have this and that. So that means everybody is in the same boat, having so much problems, struggles, you know. The life is not so easy, no? So, if you really want to practice the Dharma, there are so many opportunities, you know, at workplace, at home, you know, the temple, you know, the retreat place, you know, the centers, and on the road, you know, everywhere. So many opportunities. So if you get an opportunity like that, you should not disregard it. When the people come to me with the problems, I say, this is a very, very golden opportunity. You know? What a beautiful opportunity you got, you know. Should regard this as an opportunity to practice the Dharma, to see the Dharma within it. So that's why when the people come with the problems, I say, having a problem is a very good, you know, blessing. It's a disguised blessing, you know. Now when I contemplate on my past, I had so many problems, you know, which I didn't create, to be honest, you know. But there are so many obstacles, you know, jealousy, you know, the hatred, you know. So I had to face, you know, those days I was so sad. Even in one stage, I left the temple at the age of 18 or 19. I left my teacher. I went to another temple very secretly. But fortunately, I didn't disrobe. I never thought to do that, you know. Also, I never thought to stop my studies with so many difficulties I went through, you know. But now I am very, very grateful to those people who disturbed me, you know. Because they indirectly, they trained me. Now in Katumba, people ask, how do you live alone, you know, sometimes alone, you know, dealing with many, many matters, you know, difficult with the weather, you know, and management, working, you know, so much things. And fortunate thing is I had very, very strong energies those days. So I tell the people, because I had go through this suffering, you know, hardships. Now, when the problems come, I'm not enlightened, I should tell you. Still, you know, I just a little bit calm down, you know. I'm not panic about it, like those things. I know this is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity, you know. I should learn from it, you know, rather than running away from it, you know. Because when the difficulties come, immediately what happens? You want to run away from it, no? You want to escape from it. You don't like to face it. It's very difficult and terrible to face suffering. In one stage, one of my friends, John Woolley, when he had some troubles in his home, he comes to the temple. He wants to escape from problem. He comes, he walks around the pagoda few times, you know, until his stress is gone. And next moment he comes to me and talks to me. And one day I remember I told him about the Four Noble Truths. The suffering, the cause of suffering, and the cessations of suffering, and the way to overcome stress, suffering. So I asked him to face the suffering. Okay? So one day he came back, he told me, Venerable, to see that suffering directly is terrible. Then I asked him, what is the opposite word of terrible? He said, beautiful. Then I began to contemplate, because I know at the end it is beautiful. You know, if you can face the problem, you know. And I wrote a very beautiful line, mindfulness at the beginning is terrible. Mindfulness at the end is beautiful. You know, at the beginning, to see that suffering, you know, to face, you know, it's terrible when somebody comes and blames you, you know, criticizes you. Do you like it? No. To be honest, I don't like it. To listen to that negative words, you know, terrible. But somehow, rather, if you can, you know, you have to use different techniques to, you know, to face it, you know. But at the end, you can overcome, you know. You can see, you know, sometimes I say to myself, ah, this is my karma, you know, bad results of bad karma I did in the past. I am, you know, I am having that result at the moment. I am paying back, you know. So instead of tit for tat, you know, doing something back to that person, I begin to be patient. I try my best to be patient. Sometimes just shut up my mouth, you know, I don't tell anything. Encourage that person, please tell them more and more. I still remember I did that long time ago. One person started to blame me. 4 hours. 7:30 to 11:30 I was standing up. Okay? When that person started to criticize me, my body started to, you know, I get very, very angry. My whole body is in vibration, you know, because of the anger. And the fortunate thing is, I read one line, I think maybe Venerable K. Sri Dhammananda from Malaysia, he wrote something. When a fool engages in argument with you, if you also engage in that argument, you also become a fool. That moment, it's like somebody's putting into my head something. I remember that line immediately. And then I just twisted my hands together, because I was shaking in the whole body, because I was expressing my anger too. And I couldn't tolerate of that, you know, the criticism. And then when I stopped it, when I got that line to my head, I stopped talking to him. Instead, I encouraged him, please tell more, blame me. But still my body was shaking. And maybe 2-3 hours later, he began to tell me the secret stories of his having some mental problems, you know. And he began to help, began to ask my help, could he please help me? So that help me to, you know, practice. That was an opportunity for me to think about my side. So we should practice in day-to-day life, the moment to the moment, you know. So, the Dhamma practice, as I said at the beginning, is terrible. But at the end, brings beauty, happiness, joy. That's why I can talk about my past mostly without worrying about it. Happy for the problems, you know. That's why every day, as a practice, I am grateful to those who hurt me. I am grateful to those who help me, both equally, you know. We should practice the metta in that manner. You know, we can, of course, spread our loving thoughts to those who are loving to us, no? But we are a bit hesitant to, you know, think about the well-being of the enemy, you know? But if you begin to practice, so there are results that you can see, because the teaching of the Buddha is true. He never misled anyone, you know. What the Buddha says is, "Ehi passiko, come and see." In other words, come and practice and see how you feel. And he opens, you know. There's no any doubt. You begin to practice. When you begin to practice, you can see the results. I remember one of my friends. He was a very emotional person. He's from India, and he listened to one of my Dharma talks in Bandung, and he became a Buddhist. By birth, he was a Hindu. And he had lots of things, and he talked to me a lot. And one day, he wanted to go to Thailand, because his wife, his mother was sick. He asked the boss, could you please give me the permission to go on my, you know, the leave. The boss said no. He was very, very emotional. Very, very upset. I still remember when I gave the Dharma talk in Vandamon, I said to people, even though you are very sad, emotional, upset, angry, you still practice. You know? When you see the enemy, you don't like. Still, you mentally think, may this person be well and happy. Just, you know, it's kind of an effortless effort. Just say, you know, think in a simple manner. Actually, he got that my idea. At that moment, he remembered what I said. The regardless of that bad situation, anger, begin to practice. While he was crying and very emotional, very angry with the boss, and he just focused his mind towards that person. He told me later, he came to Katoma to tell the results. He said, "Venerable, within 20 minutes, the boss was looking, oh, where's Vivek? Where's Vivek? I granted you a leave, you know." So there was a kind of effect. Okay? In a simple manner, you should spread your loving thoughts, especially towards things. And another incident, one young girl, and she was a trainee, and she was training, having having some training under another teacher in school. But this girl is very, very sensitive. But the teacher was a bit tough. She said something to this girl. She couldn't tolerate it. She was very, very emotional, very, very angry. And she wanted to escape from that situation. She decided she wanted to go to the forest to be a nun. And her father rang me to explain the situation. I said, that's not the way. If you go to forest, you will end up having some trouble, you know, problems. And even there will be some problems. You should face that problem. Somehow or other, I invited them to come to the temple. But I didn't know the real situation. We were having a discussion. And I tried to control her mind, you know, to help her. And I asked, what really happened? And then she revealed, she said, teacher blamed me, told me something, and she was upset. I don't want to go to the school again, you know. I don't want. Then I said, okay, we go to the Bodhi tree. We do a Bodhi puja, you know, in a special manner, you know. I asked her to focus her mind on the activities at that present moment. I asked her to clean the area with her hands. Okay? Mindful to it. And then I asked her to light the candles. I told her the meaning of lighting the candle. And then they burned the incense. And in that manner, we did it. At the end, I asked her to get a pot of water. And traditionally, we walk around the Bodhi tree. You know? So, at the end, we pour the water to the Bodhi tree. Then I say, the water has some kind of energies to give the life. So by doing this type of good activities, you generate the positive emotions, you know, good things, good energies, which will help you to calm down and cut down the negative stress, you know. So while just about to pour the water, I just remembered her problem. Her problem is with her teacher. And I ask her, just focus on your teacher. Focus your mind on your teacher and just bless her. May my teacher be well and happy. Pour the water. And then while pouring the water, and I heard in her bag, handbag, the telephone is ringing. I thought just maybe that teacher is ringing. I just thought, and I went to my quarters. I asked them to just check the phone, you know. And I just came out of the quarters, and I saw the mother and this daughter is embracing together and crying, very emotional, you know. That's what happened. She said, a message came from the teacher. Asking her to come to the school tomorrow. And all the blockage is gone. She was so happy. So that little tiny incident, you know, a tiny thought has some kind of purpose. So that is why we should practice the Dhamma little by little, bit by bit. step by step. Buddha says, toka tokan kane kane. You know, if you want to walk very far, the first step is very important. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Each and every step is very, very important. That means each and every moment is very important. Even each and every situation, negative or positive. Because there are 8 worldly conditions in the world. Labho, alabho, ayaso, yasocha, nindava, sansaja, sukhanja, dukkha. Gain and lost. And the praise and blame. And reputation and disreputation. The happiness and sadness. These are the 8 worldly conditions. Each and every person has to face this. It's not unfair, you know. Regardless of your caste or color or, you know, the religion, everybody has to face this. But unfortunate thing is that we like only 4 things. Good side. We don't like the bad side. But one day, we have to like the other part too, the bad. To do that, we have to have the mindfulness. The equal amount of mindfulness to both sides, good and bad. So in that manner, you can be happy, whatever is happening. There's a very beautiful story. A man had a horse, and having a horse is a blessing those days. I don't know today. And they thought, this man is a very rich man, very lucky man. And people began to, you know, praise him. Oh, how lucky you are, you know. He said, that's okay, that's okay. He didn't mind it very much. And one day what happened, this horse ran away from the home. And then the people were very, very sad, very upset, worried, said, how unlucky you are. Very sad about your situation. And the man said, that's okay. Don't need to worry, you know. And then a few days later, this horse came with another horse. Now having 2 horses. So the people began to praise him again. Oh, how lucky you are now, having 2 horses. The man said, it's okay. And then one day, his son was riding the horse. And he fell from the horse and broke his leg. The people heard the news and they flocked to the house and said, oh, how unlucky you are. Son is sick. He said, that's okay. Still he was, you know, he was, he balances his mind, you know. And then he, later on, he heard the news. The government must enact that all the able young people should join the army to protect the country. When the people heard that news, how lucky you are, because your son is, you can see your son at home, even though his leg is broken. And the man said, it's okay. You know, he was paying an equal attention, you know, seeing the things as they really are, you know, both sides. So if you remember that story, when things go wrong, that's okay. That's okay.